Hello and welcome everyone to Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandee. Today's topic will be soulmates and four stages to sexual freedom. Now, this is quite a delicate topic, and I know, and even though all great spiritual teachers know all these things very clearly, still they're having a little bit of a trouble to talk about because, you know, you don't know how much people would take this subject personally, to what level, you don't know what kind of level of morality they have. So we try to talk about it on a symbolic level, try to understand what are the symbols implied in a relationship kind of system. It is really important for us to understand what are the symbols implied instead of just getting stuck to what we see into our lives. It is really important to understand how to do and what to do. So the most important thing is to, first of all, get a little bit of detachment from what we're living in our everyday life. And from that detachment, we understand what is the universal message that we are receiving at any moment of our lives. And how does the universe communicate through you? It communicates through symbols. It communicates through events, through circumstances, through synchronicities, but it is not as it seems. In other words, there is a pattern behind it that is symbolic. It follows a universal law, and that is the symbolic pattern of the universe. And so it is with our relationships. Our relationships are following a pattern that is universal, that is interesting, because once we understand that language, we talk the language of the universe. We speak the language of the universe, and that language can really gives us mastery over our lives. It is really important for to try to understand how our relationships are in some way related to universal language. And today, well, this is what we're trying to do. We will try to understand. In order to evolve in the soul, we have certain kinds of relationships. How are they there to help us evolve in the soul? And we try to understand them from a symbolic point of view. So first of all, let me give you the numbers that you have to dial. The number, actually, one that you have to dial if you wish to have an online, an on-air session with me, which is 888-815-9756. This is toll-free, 888-815-9756. Great important, really important is to go to my website, www.joycelestial.com. You can sign up, subscribe to mystical lessons over there that I'm still preparing. I have lots of stuff to write. I'm so sorry I'm getting slow, but you will get them soon. The first ones are already written, but I'm just waiting to the point that everything is ready so that we can start. And then you will subscribe to these mystical lessons, you will receive excerpts from them, and then you will receive them probably every week or every 2 weeks. We will see. But they are lessons that can turn your life around. And after you sign up for that, you can also sign up for your free account on my website, that you can have access to audio, articles, techniques, radio archives. And I am preparing something great. I'm preparing a membership website that would be not expensive at all, but where people can go there and actually have access to all the techniques, all the methods, all the principles that I use when I mentor people, when I have sessions with them. And you can use them either to improve your life directly, or if you're a counselor, if you're a mentor, you can use them to enhance your techniques, enhance your methods, to understand it from, to understand life and your client from a different angle, from a symbolic point of view, and from there have great insights on the patterns of life. And I'm going to give it all into that website, which I'm not going to say now, but I will tell you soon. Just stay tuned. Okay, for now, let's just start right away with our topic today. I just decided the best thing I could do is to read through my book, Soulmate Connection, and now it's an online course that you can check it out, that you can check out at soulmatecontact.com, and this is, yes, to find love on the highest sense, but also it is a mystical manual through the techniques and the principles explained in this book, explained on this course with records, with audio recordings and lessons. You will see that you will gain great mastery over your life. It is a great course. So I'm just going to read through that, and then whenever I feel like I want to stop to add something, I will stop and I will add something, because I really feel that I put it well on this course before. I don't want to miss it out. I don't want to miss what I would like to say. And let's start. So let's start with the four stages to sexual freedom. Now, the real and highest purpose of a soulmate relationship is that of helping you to realize the reality of all things by first realizing the real love within you. In other words, as we stop for a moment in our daily life, we just start to go deeper and deeper into ourselves, into our center, and we realize that love is there. From that point on, when we start living, when we start living from the level of love, which is in the Venus chakra, we have already achieved all our worldly desires from this world, and now we are free to let go. We're free to rest in the heart. From that moment on, we will start to open ourselves to the reality around us, because for the first time, we see the reality around us, not as a way, as a path, as a means to achieve our worldly dreams, let's say, but as a means to express love and connection towards other people. So it is really important to understand this. Now, if you would achieve this goal of understanding what the goal is, of realizing the reality of all things, by first realizing the real love within you, then you would become a master of this world and rule in heaven, because you step one step higher with the Lord. And this has been accomplished by Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, and all other great masters, like the more recent master, Paramahansa Yogananda. So if you need to find completeness within yourself, then why are relationships necessary at all? Well, the simple answer is that through relationships, and this is a key point, listen carefully, we learn how to expand outside the cage of our own ego, our own little spot. We need relationships. We need them. When we are with other people, it's easier to forget about ourselves and open up to new realities and possibilities. Where is this expansion really happening anyway? It is happening within ourselves. It is happening inside. Even if it seems that it is happening because of outwardly circumstances, of outside circumstances. But in truth, it is happening inside. So the person in front of us merely acts as an instrument for the expansion. And this expansive state is the true nature of our soul, is the true temperament of our soul. Our soul tends to expand. That's why we always need a little bit more in life. That's why even when we get the sofa of our dreams, then we say, well, if I could only get even a nice television in front or something, there would be always something more that we need a little bit. And even if we have everything in our place, there would be we will always be looking for something more, because the expansive state is the true nature of our soul. The soul is trying to get back to the infinite consciousness that is absolutely omnipervading, that includes and embraces everything without judging, obviously, because it includes everything. It is everything. It only takes different forms. So what we are really doing, in truth, through the expansive state and through relationships, because relationship, as I said, is a way that through which we can expand our consciousness. We step out of our little reality, of our little own pattern, and we actually compare two different realities. The person that comes into your life brings a totally different reality, a totally different reality. And you, the moment you forget about yourself, at that point, you interact with that person, and at that point, you open your mind to something new, okay? Now, what is really important to know also is that, for example, people like monks. We're talking about real committed monks, real committed sannyasin, as they say in India. No, they try to find this expansion within themselves. Therefore, they try to bring into perfect balance the feminine and masculine polarities. They avoid outside relationships because the feminine and the masculine polarities are not related only to the body. The body is just the mere expression, okay? But we are talking about qualities of the soul, first of all. So the balance of these two polarities, feminine and masculine polarities, they are not just sexual, but they are of qualities. Like, for example, the masculine side can be more logic or intellectual or scientific, and the feminine side is more intuitive, more feeling, emotional. So once you bring into balance these two sides, then you start to be a more complete you, okay? And monks try to find this expansion within themselves, and they avoid outside relationships just because they know that within them there's a lot of karma involved. And we'll talk about karma just a little bit later. People who are not monks, like me, let's say like you, let's say like many people. Anyway, I'm trying to be ordained, and I was a monk before, and I will get an ordainment soon as well. But the ordainment that I will have will allow me also to have relationships, because I believe relationships are absolutely necessary in this world. Now, people who are not monks, okay, try to balance their own feminine and masculine polarities by having a relationship. And there are three main stages to go through, and they are symbolic stages, plus a fourth stage representing the highest union. In other words, all the relationships that we are going through are there to help us find again this highest union, the union of the polarities within ourselves, not between us as somebody else. And once we find it really within ourselves, we start including all human beings everywhere, because they're all part of the same team. They're all part of the same consciousness. And this is the role of a soulmate relationship. These stages are brought forth by the innate instinct of survival inherent in all mankind, which has to do with the use of sexual energy as a channel to create something that will last after one's death. Like children or any other creative expression, we need to use creative energy because we want to feel immortal. And we want to feel immortal because the soul knows it is immortal. The soul knows that when it goes back to spirit, it will be immortal. Therefore, we are trying desperately to be immortal, even on this planet, by having sexual unions, because that is the kind of godly given creative energy, that given creative energy, that allows us to leave a legacy. But if you realize the highest union already within yourself, you will not need any more to have a physical legacy. You know what I mean? And this is important because all that we are trying to manifest in this world is actually in direct relation to a symbolic pattern of the universe. Therefore, this is a symbolic pattern of your soul. That one of reuniting yourself with the highest possible, in the highest possible way, and make yourself whole in all. Here we go again. Thank you for listening. Sometimes we have some problems with the line, and people are calling me from US to Thailand. So be patient and stay tuned. We will go on. So we were talking about the four stages. We have to understand. I'm going to speak from where I took it, from where I left it. But actually, I'm going to go a little bit backwards. So there are three main stages to go through, plus a fourth stage representing the highest union. These stages are brought forth by the innate instinct of survival, inherent in all mankind, which has to do with the use of sexual energy as a channel to create something that will last after one's death. Like children or any other created expression, the soul knows, in other words, that it's immortal, if it goes back to spirit, and it tries all possible ways in order to leave a legacy because it doesn't want to die. But when we will realize that the greatest union, when we achieve the greatest union with the spirit, we are eternal in there, then we will not need so compulsively anymore to have a physical legacy. It's really important. Now let's move on. What is the first stage then? The first stage has to do with the discovery. It all starts with the body, then it goes in the mind, then it goes in the soul, and then it goes in the spirit. It's really important to understand this because we don't have to get stuck with the idea that a physical reality is absolutely fixed as we see it. It is really important because if we start thinking in black and or white, while without understanding the great symbolic meaning behind what we see, we don't get it, simply. We are trying to put ourselves in a position, in a point of view, and that makes our mind really inflexible. An inflexible mind simply cannot expand. You need to expand. So it starts with your body, then it goes into your mind, then it goes into your soul, and then it goes into awakening, into spirit. So first stage. The first stage is the discovery and exploration of one's own body, usually through masturbation and or by self-touch. We start to discover our own body first. And this is how we're going to discover our own sexuality at the beginning. And this is how we are trying to explore ourselves in order to expand first. And at this stage, there is no real expansion happening involved because there's just an urge to explore the inner instinct one has just become aware of. So people who are living at first stage are just exploring their own inner instincts, and they are just aware of that. And let me tell you, at this first stage, we have 90% of the world population. It does not matter whether in a married relationship or not, most people are here. Most people are in the first stage where they are exploring their inner instinct. At this point, even if there is a relationship, even if there is a married relationship, there is no real connection. There is no real interaction between these two couples. It's very much self-centered kind of living, very much of a self-centered kind of living. There is no expansion consciousness. There's a lot of confinement. And yes, through having to do with different kind of, with a partner, it is important because it will, it will just push you toward expansion. So it is good in this case, obviously, to have a relationship as well, but these people are starting the first stage. And at some point they will move on. At some point they will start to expand. But because it starts with their own body, they're still not connecting with the body of an opposite sex. And even though they are in a relationship of the opposite sex, so what happens? Now we move on to the second stage. And please, no morality, not self-judgment. This is a more evolved stage than the first one. So the comparison and appreciation of one's own body with the body of someone of the same sex. Now, once you have explored your own sexuality, your own body, through masturbation and by self-touch, by exploring your own instinct, then at this point you have to compare your own body with the body of somebody else with the same sex. And this is, for example, the stage of homosexuality. And at this stage is obviously in relation to men and women at the same time. And there is nothing wrong about this stage because it is natural, actually. I know many people will say, what? Is it natural? Yes, it is, because we're going through these stages. These are stages of our expansion in consciousness. And I will just say what I have to say, and I know that no, I cannot make everyone happy. Well, there is nothing wrong about this stage. Some people believe or try to intend. And usually the people who are definitely against homosexuality are usually those people who are stationary at the first stage because they cannot relate to, they are afraid, they think they have a real unflexible mind, they're not yet expanded, therefore they say, no, this is how it has to be. But it is a perfectly natural stage. You have to pass through the stage in order to move on to the next ones. If your consciousness makes a serious attempt to expansion, at this point you say, I want to expand, I want to get out of myself, I want to see, to compare myself with other people through the world. And around 9% of the population are at this stage. Well, I believe also that these percentages, whatever you want to pronounce it, are a little bit changing now. Probably there are less people on the first stage, there are more people on this second stage, and there are even a little bit more people on the first stage that we're going to talk now. After you have expanded yourself from yourself towards somebody of your same sex, then you go to the third stage. The first stage is the comparison and appreciation of one's own body with the body of one of the opposite sex, again. But at this time, there is union of polarities. There is a very good union that can occur at this level when two souls get together for a higher purpose. At this point, these relationships are really spiritual. Around 1% of the population are at this stage, and they are usually very spiritual couples with a great purity of the heart. And usually they are couples with a great purpose in life. They have a purpose of being a couple, for being a couple. And then there is another stage, the highest, when there are no relationships anymore with other people involved in sex. And one finds union in polarities within oneself, as we said before. And this is the fourth stage. Because you find completeness in yourself. Now, we have to understand one thing. And this is a very important message that I want to give today. No matter which stage you are, first, second, third, or fourth stage, what is important is to understand that eventually you must be born into a body, and that's great. But eventually we're talking about qualities of the soul. The partner who you have in front has to do with the evolution of your own soul. Therefore, if he can or if she can somehow help you to realize into your life all the qualities of the divine man, as I explained in one of these radio shows, in one of the episodes of the radio shows before. And you can download this episode, but it's really called the 26 qualities of the divine man. If it can help you to develop or to experience, or maybe it will just put you in a condition where you absolutely have to be to adopt those qualities in order to get along well, then if it helps you, if your partner helps you to put yourself in that condition, then this is a good relationship for you. If it is a relationship, no matter which stage you are, that creates a lot of inharmonies and discomfort, or that is only too physical, then I suggest move on to the next stage. Move on to the next stage. But wherever you are, try to understand how this relationship can help you in evolving in the soul. And it is important also to understand that these are not moral stages, but natural stages. Stages of a consciousness in expansion. And you don't have to go through them physically. Very important. You don't have to go through them physically to reach the highest fourth stage. If you are in the first stage and you're totally committed, say, I want to find the best, healthier relationship possible, then at that point, you can just transcend. You can just go deep down into yourself and transcend all appearances and find a soul living within you. You don't have to go necessarily, if you're the first stage, to the second stage. If you're the second stage, you don't have to go to the third or the fourth stage. You don't have to do that. You can find the union of your higher self, or you and your higher self, with the cosmos right where you are, no matter where you are. But being aware of where you are would definitely help you. So you can recognize at which of these natural stages you are, and from there, find stimuli to find completeness within yourself. Really important. No moral judgment needs to be involved. In God creation, there is no such thing as a mistake. Really important to know. You have been created beautiful at His eye. Now it's your turn to express this beauty and love in the best way you can see it and perceive it. Granted that your intentions are directed towards the real growth in your soul. In finding a partner, all that you're actually doing is giving love a form. Let me repeat this again. In finding a partner, all that you're actually doing is giving love a form. And through sexuality, you can learn how to love. You can learn how to love. Yes, it's true. It takes a lot of commitment, though. It takes a lot of consciousness. A form is needed at the beginning. You need a form. You need someone that has a form at the beginning so that you can find, we can find, a greater love behind the form, beyond the form, and within ourselves when we start practicing love in our daily life with the help of the best partner we can conceive to have. No matter which stage you are, if you are sincere, you will eventually learn how to love. Finally, find the true love within you now. You don't have to wait to get to the fourth stage, as I said before. Find it now. These stages are just phenomena of your own consciousness. And they are perfect in themselves already. They are perfect in themselves. In every stage, there is full accomplishment. You can discover the key to love at any stage you're in. You might move from one stage to another or stay where you are. The most important thing is to be honest with yourself and know that no matter who you have beside you, the true purpose of your soulmate relationship is to make you abide in your own true nature of love. In other words, to help you and or encourage you to transcend space and time beyond all phenomena and find God within you, you might say your true nature, or at least to grow in your soul. If a true soul growth is the purpose of your life, and the person you have close to your heart asks you somehow in that, then you are on the right track. Mind you, your partner, in order to be a soulmate, does not necessarily have to approve your path in your desire to grow in your soul. In fact, either through encouragement or resistance, he or she will somehow push you to a positive result. Certainly, if it happens that you don't have already a partner, I suggest you to avoid obstacles and frustration and then ask the universe for a like-minded soul so that you can grow together and you can communicate much better. Now, another thing that is important to understand is that if you don't have a partner or you have a partner, one of the greatest gifts we have in this world is friendship. Our friendships. Now, real friends are a good example of long-lasting asexual relationships. True friends are the valuable ground upon which you will learn how to be in a soulmate relationship. That unconditional love that can be expressed between two real friends is divine in its nature. A real friendship has the power to shape your life. And when good and high values are involved, it can even help your character to become perfect. True friends will start appearing in your life when you are in tune with the unselfish and binding love of the universe. In other words, you can have true friends when you start saying, now I have enough of being selfish. I want to get a little bit more in tune. I want to have true relationships, true friendships. because you will be able to relate yourself to anyone around you at that level. If you're in tune with the unselfish and binding love for the universe, then the people around you will change because you will find people who can relate to you at that level. True friends, in fact, cannot come if what motivates your heart is selfishness or other not loving qualities. In true friendship, two people offer to each other what they have of value in all circumstances, either in pleasure or in sorrow. With such an inspiring sincerity and open-heartedness, that has the power to move mountains. These are qualities that can be perfected even more in a soulmate relationship because such a relationship delves deep in our multidimensional self. One should learn how to be a true friend before trying to find a soulmate. It's really important. One should learn how to be a true friend before trying to find a soulmate. Your friends are the groundwork for your soulmate relationship to be authentic and long-lasting. Strive to be the best friend one could ever have, not only in things you do, but in the emanation of your total self. When you meet a good friend, you can really start to practice love without condition until you become good at it. It is easier because there is no sexual involvement which can make one dependent and emotionally attached to the other. Through true friendship, one can learn to control their emotional outbursts that otherwise would be detrimental to a loving relationship. But this is a key point. Try to develop friendships. If you cannot find true friends at the moment, start radiating love and goodwill to others. This is one of the suggestions that Yogananda used to give to all his disciples. Should start radiating good love and goodwill to others everywhere you meet them. While welcoming people into your life, you also have to welcome people into your life. Ask yourself, am I welcoming people into my life? And ask yourself this question. And with great surprise, you might find that the answer is no. Then, if the answer is no, try to welcome them. Continue to have a welcoming feeling towards good and new people inside yourself until you sense your internal doors be really open. Now, this is an affirmation that I read from a booklet from Yogananda, the SRF founder. And the affirmation said, as I emanate expansive love, goodwill to all beings, I open the door for universal love to come into me. Divine love is the magnet that attracts me all beauty and good. I just slightly changed it for finding a soulmate relationship. Well, let me repeat this again. As I emanate expansive love, goodwill to all beings, I open the door for the universal love to come into me. Divine love is the magnet that attracts me all beauty and good. As I emanate expansive love, goodwill to all beings, I open the door for universal love to come into me. Divine love is the magnet that attracts me all beauty and good. So the main principle to observe is to take advantage of the relationships you already have, including your friends, in order to observe objectively your life and see what's coming back at you. Relationships are your mirror and your school. And we talked about this concept before. Relationships are your mirror, and if you see that these relationships don't reflect back to you who you would like to be now, then just decide they'll reflect back not who you are, but who you were. Start living today the divine aspect of a true relationship, through a true friendship. Do it one step at a time if necessary. You will not be disappointed. And the next part is what we've been just talking before we move on. And let's see how much time we have. Okay, we still have time because I would like to talk about other very important things, like, for example, karmic contracts. What are they? Karmic relationships, what are they? And also, there's something else about intimacy, how you can, overcoming loneliness, how you can overcome loneliness. It all starts with your consciousness, obviously, but let's focus. What is the most important thing you could do right now, just to recap the first part of the show? The first part of the show says, first of all, we all go through stages in life. We all go through a first second, third, and fourth stage in order to find the greatest union within ourselves. And what we're talking here, we're talking about qualities of the soul. Once you start going into a true spiritual path, the body is of second importance. Even though it needs to be there, it needs to be present and alive and healthy so that you can sustain also the evolution in the soul, but the body becomes of second importance. What is important is the quality of your soul that are going to be developed. It is really important. And through these stages, we grow to total self-centeredness through gradual expansion into greatest union. Very important. We move on. Again, let me repeat it. From self-centeredness to expansion, greater expansion, and then union. And then these stages are obviously stages that are happening within yourself, no matter who you have in front, who you have beside you. First thing to understand. And all relationships in our lives are symbolic. They are a symbol of this universal pattern that is actually active within your soul. The instinct of the soul to find expansion at any moment so that it can regain its own natural, eternal state. Then another thing, the best way to practice is to practice directly this part, then with the true friends, because friendships are there to help you. When two people give friendship to each other, you know, when you see them, they are united. They are there for the good and the bad. They help each other for what they can do. And friendship is really, when it's true, it can last for a long time. No matter what the person is really going through, a true friend will stay a friend. And through those friendships, through that interaction between friends, you can see, between you and your friend, you can see how you can improve your character. Because you know that if you don't improve your character anyway, you're not going to lose a friend. Maybe your friend can get a little bit annoyed, but it depends also on the gravity of your habit. But what I mean is you will actually have real opportunities to develop your character into perfection in the easiest way and most relaxed way possible. So that is the best ground for you to overcome your emotional outbursts, because friendship is not the kind of relationship that will make you feel dependent. It will make you feel absolutely in the hands of somebody else, dependent on other people's decisions. Usually what will happen is that when you are in a loving relationship, one of the risks is that if something goes wrong, you feel trapped. Because you know you are with that person, and you don't know how to get out of it before you get really anxious about it. Because listen, if we really have to sort this thing out, because if I have to spend my life with you, I don't want to go through all this for all my life. But in a friendship, this is not going to happen. Because, you know, after all, there is a friend. You will have space for yourself, and that person will have space for himself. But on the other hand, it will definitely help you to develop qualities in your soul. So let's move on now. I want to talk about how you can overcome loneliness, because some people lived in a cocoon or have closed themselves off due to different reasons or to suffering. And after some time, they have come to believe that they are not worthy of any healthy relationship and feel stuck in their own loneliness. And again, this is a problem that relates to the Saturn center, to the Saturn chakra, at the base of the spine, where we feel that we are so stuck in our reality that we cannot move on. So what we need to do is stabilize our lives. We have already talked about this before. Stabilize our life with simple things so we don't have to worry about our life to be stable, and we can start moving on, gently expanding a little bit more. But let's move on. Some other people instead are even scared of relationships and think that they can be a curse to people around them. I've met people like this. And And we all go through such a feeling at some point in our lives, and this leads to self-punishment and fear of damaging oneself or damaging others. So if this sounds familiar, please understand that instead, first of all, your relationships can fill your life. And second, you can be of great inspiration for others. The more you touch the darkness, the more you can come out of the darkness, the more you can go into the light. And once you're there, if the jump is really powerful, then you can even find great enlightenment over there. You move on into a totally different cycle. Be willing to take risks. If you have stabilized your life somehow, you can take risks. Because you will know you will come back down to a solid ground. Be willing also to be a blessing to yourself first and then to others. Start to be a blessing to yourself. Start to appreciate yourself in small little things. And everybody talks about this practice, and I find it very valuable to go into the mirror and say, you know, I love you. And even if it is just for a small thing, I love you for the eyebrows. Something stupid. I love you because you have this beautiful way of being. I love you because of the light of your eyes. Give yourself a reason. If you cannot find yourself a reason, just say, I love you because I love you. And I love you. Full stop. And after that, I found Louis Hay one of the best authors to read on this subject. Really. And I started to read her books when I was 15 years old. And I have to say, if I hadn't read those books, I wouldn't be such a person as I am now. Those books really helped me through the stage of transition from the teenage kind of stage to the adulthood stage, so that I could go in the most positive way possible. And let me tell you, they really made a difference. After some time, I started to feel love for everyone. And life started to be extremely positive towards me. And those things really helped me. And she suggests going to the mirror to say this kind of sentences and then say, what can I do for you today to make you happy? So that I can show my love for you and see what happens. See what happens. So improve yourself also by associating with other people. If you're not happy about your own reality, by associating with other people, you will start improving yourself. Practice loving care and make your presence nurturing for others. Give attention to people. Give true attention to people. Not too much. Just for what they require. Just stay there. Do your best without expecting anything in return, even though doing so will enrich your life. Start seeing other people for who they are. Beings, and this is what they are, beings who are in need of loving care, just as you are. No matter how they seem like, no matter the masks they're wearing, even if they say no, even if they treat you badly, start seeing them for what they really are. They are beings who are in need of love and care, just as you are. The purpose of your loneliness may be right now to understand that everyone is in need of love at different levels. But in any case, remember, you don't have to find purpose in your loneliness. But you just need to affirm the life you want. Love people for who they are unconditionally. Open the doors of your life to them and see them as a flow of energy. You know, a relationship is just like a flow of energy. It flows in and it flows out. Don't feel like you have to stagnate and gather energy into yourself. You know, it flows in and flows out. And some of them will go, some of them will stay, and some new people will eventually appear. And commit yourself to use your energy to the best of your ability. Don't think negatively about yourself. Just go there and start saying, even if I'm scared, I love you and I'm going to go to take risks. And stabilize your life first. Have a nice job. Have something stable. You know, something that will make you feel that you have your feet on the ground. This is really important. There are no other gatekeepers than you. If you don't realize your ideal relationships in the people around you, then rest assured there will be people will appear as soon as you decide to welcome them into your life and turn the key to of your consciousness to love and beauty. Now, if relationships don't work or the same patterns repeat themselves over and over, it can only mean that you continue to play always the same song in your inner world. Remember that the inner world generates the outer world. Decide what manifestation you would like to change, and you will see these qualities reflected back to you. Again, clarity of mind is really important, and having a grounded life will help you to have clarity of mind as well, because lots of worries just go away as soon as you have stability. These qualities, the qualities that you don't seem to understand in others, here we are on the line again. Thank you so much for staying in tune. Sometimes we have problems with the line since there's a great distance, there's a long distance between U.S., California, and here, Thailand. Therefore, just have a little bit of patience. And thank you for tuning in. This is Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandy. And I would like to take you again from one of the exercises, one of my favorite left-shifting exercises, because I don't know exactly at which point the line got cut, so I'm going to throw it again. So make a list. This exercise is important because it will help you to shift your life. It's one of my favorite ones. And so make a list of some of the old patterns that are repeating into your life. This can be an old pattern or a limiting, confining situation, something that you want to change, okay? And you can either perform this practice directly, physically in front of a mirror, or mentally in front of a mirror. If you do it mentally, then you should visualize all the process at the mind's eye, which is located at the point between the eyebrows and the forehead. So see yourself, go physically in front of a mirror, and visualize the pattern and the confinement that you want to change is your own reflection. The reflection you see on the mirror is the reflection of those patterns. It's the manifestation itself of those patterns. And as you see that, now change the quality of your reflection and envision the new you. In other words, that reflection now shows that behind it, behind the you that is reflecting the mirror, behind you, now you will start seeing the new positive pattern you want to put, the new positive reality that you want to manifest, that you want to see coming into your life, and continue to do that. Make it as beautiful as possible, as powerful as possible. Continue to do that until you feel that it's really effective, until you feel that the image in the mirror is really the other you that you would like to be. And then start the transference. The new you reflecting in the mirror now projects back to you, your new reality, and continue this transference until you really feel that it's come to a completion. This is a highly powerful exercise. Whether you do this exercise physically in front of a mirror or just in your mind's eye, it will work wonders. And I suggest you to perform it both physically and mentally at different times. For example, you could perform it if you have a heavy pattern to overcome. You could perform it in the morning. In the morning, I suggest you to do it directly in front of a mirror, physically. It is easier to do it physically because, and let me tell you why, because you're waking up from the green state and you're still at a very deep level, but your mind can be a little bit confused. Therefore, it is good to go in front of a mirror physically to ground your practice. You do it in front of a mirror. When you're washing, brushing your teeth, you perform this exercise. And then you perform it in the evening in your mind's eye before going to bed. This, for me, is the best thing because this will allow you also to move from the dream state to a state of activity and then from the state of activity to a inner state before going to sleep. And in the middle, during the day, whenever you feel you have a little bit of time, do this exercise mentally or in front of a mirror. Do it, because it will really gradually change your life. It will really gradually change your life. Let's move on to another chapter that I would like to share with you, and it's about karmic contracts. Some relationships we have in our lives, this is very important, and then we're going to stop here. Some relationships we have are actually relationships that are brought to us because of our karma. And these are relationships that not necessarily need to be indulged upon. So let's talk about this. But before I explain what karmic relationships are, let me define briefly what karma is. Karma, also known as the law of cause and effect, is the law of nature which says that for every action, thought, feeling, and conscious choice, there is a reaction of equal value that comes back as a reflection into the life of the person responsible. These reactions are rarely immediate, very rarely. So they do, however, extend through time, creating what is known as karmic debt. Karmic debt can include relationships. People get together, then at the moment their karmic debt can be fulfilled. In these relationships, it is clear that there is a strong connection. And sometimes it can be a very good one, like, for example, in the case of a good disciple and a spiritual teacher. But other times, these relationships might not be so good, and they may represent a challenge that needs to be overcome. We all find difficult people in our lives, right, that give us a hard time. That's our karma. That's a karmic relationship. Most people involved in a karmic relationship, sometimes the connection is great. There's a great sexual connection. There's a great mind connection. But it doesn't mean that he's your partner, for example. If your partner does not relate to you at the level of soul of the soul, at the level of beauty and love, you first have to proceed within yourself. You cannot say that there is a soulmate relationship. That's why it is so important first to perceive love and beauty within yourself in the universal sense, so that you can realize, you can recognize the person that relates to you at that level. So most people involved in a karmic relationship can easily assume they are in a soulmate relationship. This is, of course, not true. The purpose of the karmic relationship is to pay a karmic debt, whereas a soulmate relationship brings you opportunities to grow on many levels. Overcoming a karmic debt with someone will help you grow as well, because it allows you to rid yourself of old burdens that you have been carrying around for a long time. But a soulmate relationship can help you to overcome many karmic debts, not just one. And then it will help you grow in your soul. Your soulmate needn't be involved with the people with whom the karmic debts have been created. But by being with you, he will assist you, or she will assist you, in preparing to resolve the many karmic issues within yourself for freeing your soul. A karmic relationship can be helpful only at a smaller level, while the soulmate relationship is helpful on a much greater level. Because this is a relationship for your soul. A risk of getting involved with karmic relationship is that of repeating the same patterns again and again. In other words, if you get involved in a karmic relationship, thinking it's a soulmate relationship, you try to sort out that karma, the risk is that you're not going to sort out that karma, but in truth, you are making it bigger. Two people, once they meet, can find themselves locked into a karmic debt they can never get out of. This is something that happens on a regular basis, and it is very common in the world of relationships as well as in the world of marriage. Those who are locked in karmic relationships are often together only for the purpose to rectify one karmic debt. But since the participants don't realize this purpose, they repeat the same mistakes repeatedly, because there's a sort of pride, there's a sort of ego coming in. No, I should not do that. No, you should do that, exactly. But if they start repeating the same mistakes repeatedly, the results, therefore, less than dynamic. but mostly stagnant, leading to degeneration. It is possible to overcome your karmic debt through the much more inspiring and dynamic relationship you have with your soulmate. No matter what karmic debts you both may have, you will naturally help each other in overcoming them. It is important to realize that the karmic debt is something that needs to be rectified within you. There is no need to involve the person with which the debt was created. If you have a problem with one of your friends, in truth, you could sort out the problem not with that friend, but within yourself. This is simple because probably the seeds of your karma are in your own consciousness, and it is there that you have to work to free yourself from them. So, for example, meeting the person with whom you have a karmic debt can make tough things worse. In fact, you might feel ready to overcome that challenge, but the other person might not be. Going there to meet him or her will often not sort out the problem, but create a new karmic bound. Some other times, you might think you are ready, but the simple truth is you are not ready. Even though it is impossible to avoid meeting people with whom we have karmic connection, we can freely choose with whom we have our closest and intimate relationship. It is always preferable to have relationships that are conducive to widening our horizons and spurring our growth. If you find yourself stuck in a karmic relationship, know that karma has no real limiting power. Karma means action. What you do, you can undo. Use this karmic law to your advantage. As long as you realize that which is manifest in your life, as long as you realize that which is manifest in your life is a reflection of yourself, then it's easy to understand the importance of letting go of destructive feelings like anger, self-hatred, and intolerance, and focus your attention upon union, love and kindness, and fulfillment, even if you don't have the good karma to manifest a soulmate instantly. In this way, your soulmate will appear by right of consciousness, which is much more important, much more effective. Let go, because karma will terminate at some point. Karma will exhaust itself unless you water it every day. But consciousness is something that is grounded in your soul. So let go of whatever disturbs you at this moment. Letting go means relaxing in your awareness through meditation, through whatever practice will allow you to do that, until you understand that feelings are inconsistent, that their real nature is empty space. And here we go into relaxing more and more into the beauty of your soul and expressing the intention to live from the heart level, from that level, the beautiful and pleasant relationships hanging from your karmic debts will show up as a consequence of manifesting your good qualities. Whatever it is that you're manifesting, the karma that is related to that manifestation will appear. If you are in a positive cycle, only positive karma can come, unless there are other hidden qualities that are sparring, that are manifesting other seeds. Anyway, in other words, focus only on good, and only good karmic relationship will be involved in your life, and eventually, all the compulsions towards the negative karmic seed to grow will have to eventually die, because you don't give energy to it. Bad karmic relationships would not find ground to prosper then. But you will have to do a cleaning job within yourself in any case. Maybe you will get to a point in life when focusing on other good or bad will not have any direct consequence in your life. If that happens, then it usually means that you're about to break the cycles of existence. If you're outside the cycles, that means you're going to get enlightened. Usually this is not the case, but anyway, I'm sure that a new direction of life will come from above just for you in that case. Well, having perfect relationships comes as a result of the awareness of your pure beauty and perception of true love within you. Commit yourself to that. That's the greatest commitment you can do. It's the greatest adventure. This is the true love for yourself that you should find. It is this awareness which is always present, and yet it is beyond the law of cause and effect. The law of karma. Relax and find joy in experiencing the beauty and love of your soul. And just to remind you, this is taken from a course, Soulmate Connection, which you can find at www.soulmatecontact.com. I hope you also come to my website, www.joycelestial.com. Sign up, subscribe for the lessons. Connect with me at any moment through the contact form or writing me an email. And thank you so much for listening to Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandy, and I'll be here next week for you. Thank you. 10 p.m.